Welcome to the Into the Wild podcast, where we'll be interviewing outdoor junkies like ourselves about their experiences in nature. We hope to use this platform to continue learning and growing as both individuals and as an organization. We hope that you will accompany us on this journey of understanding the thrills others seek in the outdoors, the incredible memories and learning opportunities that can come from suffering experiences, and how the conversations we have can begin to make the outdoors a more just and equitable space for all people.
Meet Pierce Klinka, a talented remote location cinematographer and photographer who has dedicated his career to producing exceptional art in the backcountry. Pierce works with a diverse range of outdoor industry clients to create films that tell compelling stories with focus on adventure sports. Pierce studied communication with a film studies emphasis at Santa Clara, where he honed his artistic craft and fostered a deep passion for visual storytelling. Pierce is also an alumni of Into the Wild, where he refined his outdoor leadership skills and continued to nurture his love for nature throughout college. With his unique background and diverse skill set, Pierce is a true force to be reckoned with in the outdoor media industry. Into the Wild leaders Jules, Izzy, and Cooper are so excited to welcome him virtually into the KSCU office today. So welcome.
All right. Something that listeners probably don't know is that Pierce was originally an engineering major and switched to communications with an emphasis in film studies. So my question for you, Pierce, is what was the thought process that led you to make that switch? Can you walk us through your discernment process and how you ultimately made the decision to change your major?
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. With regards to your question, Izzy, I think for me the biggest thing was like trying to envision what sort of lifestyle I wanted to have for myself post-college. And with the engineering track that I was on, it seemed like I was just going to sit in an office and crunch numbers all day and then kind of just have a very traditional 9-to-5 job. So I had that kind of realization moment of like, oh, maybe this isn't the thing for me. So then began the process of figuring out, okay, what is going to be the path for me, and then what do I need to do to make myself successful on going down that path.
So how do you feel about your decision now, and has it like impacted your academic career? And I mean, it definitely has, but how has it impacted that trajectory in your life?
Yeah, I mean, certainly at SCU is a completely different academic experience than being in the engineering school. I got exposed to a lot of different people because I feel like the engineering school is fairly single-minded mm-hmm. in a certain sense, of, as in you're only having classes with other engineering students versus like a lot of my core classes that I ended up taking in the College of Arts and Sciences. Then I was, you know, meeting people that were philosophy majors or English or, you know, whatever. So that was cool to get exposed to people with more diverse interests. Mm-hmm. And then, like, as far as career trajectory now, obviously I get to work in the outdoors and do really fun things and travel and be paid to do it. So I don't regret it in the slightest. I think it was probably the best decision I've ever made.
I think that's amazing because I think a lot of kids might have similar feelings that you had when you were transitioning majors, but they feel too much pressure from society or from their family or whoever that they don't follow through with like their gut feeling. So I think that's great that you can be an amazing example for other college students that are feeling similar way.
So you made this like huge decision, you're super happy about it, but at what point did you know that you wanted to pursue media as a career? And like, what made you realize that photography was your true calling? And just like, what was that pivot like?
So I went through, let's see, 4 quarters of school as an engineering student, made it through all the prerequisite classes and everything like that. And then I just kind of had this like big question in the back of my brain of like, is this really the thing for me? And then I went on winter break my sophomore year and had a lot of time just at home hanging out with friends and family and got to really think on that question. And by the end of the break, I had made the decision to switch my major, which Ultimately, I originally wanted to just drop out of college because I didn't really see the value in like continuing if I already had a lot of the skills that I needed to be in this field. But my parents persuaded me to finish it out, which I think was the right call,
I
all
was
things
just
considered.
going
Like, it's good to have a degree to your name because it proves that you can work hard at something for a while.
to
And it also just bought me a lot of time to like develop my creative vision and hone some skills, all in an environment where there wasn't as much pressure. Like, it's one thing to not deliver for a client that's paying you thousands of dollars on a shoot versus maybe like getting a B on an assignment rather than an A in school. It's a little bit different pressure there.
So we know your name well in the Into the Wild community, and you've had a huge impact on the org. So with that, how did your time, reflecting on your time with Into the Wild, how did that impact your career path, and what skills are you using in your career today? So if you can reflect a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Into the Wild was pretty formative, I would say, for me, as far as the impact it had on my college experience and now the person that I am currently. It continued to nurture my love for the outdoors throughout college, which I think was pretty critical for me. I ended up realizing that being able to do stuff in the outdoors was essential for my well-being, both physically and mentally. So to continue that in adult life makes me a more successful person now because I'm able to work at my best essentially because of that. And I think it also made me comfortable with the idea that I could have a career in the outdoor industry in some capacity. You know, I'm not guiding people now, like what Into the Wild is kind of like, but I still work in the outdoor industry largely.
Yeah, I feel like that's so important for us because all of us in Into the Wild and what like we love nature and spending time in nature, but it's hard to sometimes imagine a career where we can incorporate our passion for being outdoors in a career. And so I think that's something that's really admirable about what you're doing. And it's just great to see that you have a career in out there because it makes me hopeful for my career in the future.
I think I firmly believe that everyone can do it. You just have to, you really have to like reverse engineer it, I think is the easiest way of going about it. It's like going back to that lifestyle kind of idea of like, okay, if I want to work in the outdoors, what steps do I need to take from now until, you know, X date in the future that's gonna open the right doors to get me there.
That's really good advice, and I feel like that's honestly applicable to any career path.
So kind of speaking about some challenges that you've potentially faced, could you tell us about a time when you had a problem solve on a backcountry shoot? Just kind of like what does that look like?
Yeah, this happens a lot, which is definitely one of the biggest hurdles of doing remote location work, like in filming and shooting photos in the backcountry, is that like if you forget something or I don't know, all sorts of things can go wrong, you don't really have as easy of options to bail yourself out of that situation. You have to be a lot more self-reliant. An instance that I came across this past winter was I was out shooting some skiing up on Galena Summit in the backcountry, and I had planned to fly my drone that day for some of the filming. And for whatever reason, my drone decided to sign itself out. Like the controller has to be signed into your account
Oh
in order
gosh.
for you to use the full scope of the capabilities of the drone, which I'm not sure why it signed out because I hadn't updated the firmware or anything like that. I hadn't changed anything with the drone since the last time I used it, so I figured it'd be okay. And then as a result of me being signed out and then being in the backcountry and not having the service, internet service to sign back in, the drone was limited to only, I think it was like 100 vertical feet and 100 vertical feet or horizontal feet away from me from wherever I launched.
Oh, God.
So then I had to be pretty strategic about where I was going to launch the drone from and then how to maximize the shot that I was able to get with those limitations, because like normally I would fly, I was at the very bottom of the line that we were filming, the athlete's dropping in, I'm down here, and then I would launch the drone from the bottom, fly it up to the top of the line, and then kind of follow the skier down as they ride the line. But because I could only go 100 feet up, I had to get a little bit more creative with how I was filming the top of the line.
And
so that,
sorry, keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna ask you, like, I that seems pretty technical and not something that you could just like do on your first try. So I was kind of curious, like, if this had happened to you, say, like in the first year of your career, like, would you have kind of reacted differently? Like, I don't. It sounds like a stressful situation.
And yeah, I probably would have. My first reaction in this situation was to put the drone away and then just film on my other camera that I had with me. But then I was talking about it with one of the other filmers that I was out with on that day. And we kind of just decided that it would be best still to use the drone and just work with what you have, essentially. I had a teacher in high school that always said, like, the only thing that I expect of you is to do the best that you can with the time that you have. Or you could, you know, swap it out for the resources or the capabilities that you have. So
yeah,
there's a lot of situations like that where it's just do the best you can.
Yeah, I love that. Our next question for you is, what is the craziest thing you've done while getting videos or photos for a project?
I've definitely had some wild shoots. The one was on Mount Whitney. We did a winter event. I think this was November of 2021. It's for a series on Outside TV called Beauty Monday. Damn. And the guys, the two main characters of the show, Jason and Mike, were doing the Whitney high to low. So you start in Death Valley, which is like negative 300 feet elevation.
Oh my God.
You bike to the Whitney trailhead, which is like 100 something miles and a ton of climbing. And then from the Whitney trailhead, you then climb Mount Whitney.
Wow.
So you go in 48 hours, you go from being negative 300 feet below sea level to like, I think almost 4 or 5 on the summit.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I mean, I would consider myself to be in pretty good shape. Like, I try to stay fit for the work that I do. And
yeah,
that was really hard on my body. And like, I didn't even do the biking portion. I was just filming the climbing, but that like amount of elevation change in a 24-hour period is pretty brutal.
So I have a question. So when you're filming, like, as you just said, like filming the climbing part, what does that actually look like? Like, are you just following them and like with the camera? Like
pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you want to get a mix of shots. That's really important. So like some stuff taken from a distance away is, but for other like actions or sequences, like you'd want to be kind of up close and personal and like get some of those intricate details of what they're doing on the climb. And then also you like, you want shots from behind them, and then you also want shots from above them. So there's a lot of like this leapfrogging up the route. By and large on those, like that video series though, we're not just like stopping people down, Jason and Mike, and then, you know, having them repeat something. And like, if we miss the shot, it's just kind of, you get what you get. So as a filmer, you have to be really, really dialed. One, doing the activity that they're doing, and then two, being able to operate the camera in whatever environment that we're in. So like a big challenge on that one was the fact that we're doing it during the winter and there's already snow there. So we were doing a lot of like dry tooling on mixed surfaces. So like wearing crampons and an ice axe, but then also you're like rock climbing and bouldering with crampons on,
okay,
which is pretty challenging. Like, I'm not a big fan of dry tooling personally. And then, like, adding in the fact that you're carrying a camera and a larger backpack than what you probably would be doing if you were just doing it on your own time. So there's a lot of challenges that come with that. And Jason and Mike are in really good shape, so it's hard to keep up with them in general.
So like there sounds like this is very everything's very specific, like you can't really mess up. Can you walk us through the process for planning and executing a media project for a backcountry trip?
Yeah, so there's a lot that goes into it. Pre-production is probably one of the most important parts of the whole process of making films. So choosing your locations is usually kind of the first thing that's done. And then after that, there's typically some sort of permitting process that has to be done with the governing agency of whoever runs that portion of land that you're going to go on to. So, BLM, Forest Service, et cetera. And then arranging like talent, so models, athletes, people like that, and then also crew. So figuring out who you're going to hire on for the shoot to fill all the roles that you need. And then that's determined a lot by what the final deliverables are. Like, are we making a video? Are we just delivering stills? Do we need aerial imagery? Things like that. People that are specialists at a certain part of production. And then scheduling is kind of an annoying part because with that many different people, trying to line up schedules can be kind of difficult, especially given that the film industry is very freelance. So people are kind of just all doing their own thing. And then, like, figuring out hotels, flights, rental cars, stuff like that. And that's just like the more like logistic side of things. That doesn't even start to touch into the creative work that goes into like actually planning the videos, because you need to have a good idea of what you want to shoot and what you need to shoot before you actually do it. So that once you get to the editing room, you know that you have all the footage that you need to produce the content that you want. Because there's nothing worse than sitting down to edit and realizing like, oh, we like really needed that one shot of someone doing this, but we don't have it. And then for specifically for the line of work that I do, gear selection is pretty important because pretty much any time I'm going out on a shoot, I have to choose like what sort of outdoor gear I'm bringing for just myself. And then also figure out what sort of camera gear I'm going to need as well to pull off all the shots that we need. So my camera kit almost never looks the same. It's always very much tailored to the activity and the shoot that I'm doing. And then once you've thought about all of that and packed and traveled there, then you can finally shoot.
Wow, that's crazy. That's beyond me. So kind of like going back to like you were saying that no camera kit like looks the same. How do you ensure that the content you produce accurately portrays the experience of being in the backcountry? Like, is that most about the equipment you're bringing, like how you're interacting with your subject? Like, how does that work?
I would say that the camera itself isn't ultimately that important for something like authenticity. You really just want to focus on portraying like what's real, what's actually happening. So like if someone is just struggling because they like, didn't sleep very well the night before or something like that, like include that in the story. That's important context because what gets people invested in films and stories are characters. So you have to develop that empathy between the person that you're seeing on the screen and the person that's watching them. So if they're just like a robot crusher that never has a hard time and just like blazes through everything that they do with ease, people probably aren't actually going to enjoy watching it that much because it's not relatable. So you want to show like those human moments. Like struggle is story. That's a big thing
Yeah, for
that you
sure.
see a lot in the type of work that I do.
So with that, you part of the story, people are being really vulnerable and sharing things throughout the film. So how do you make sure you're developing a relationship with the people throughout your time filming and on this expedition in order to make sure that they're maintaining their own authenticity throughout? And like, do you have conversations with them after about what they are including, and what does that process look like?
So like my relationship with the people that I'm working with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of unlocking characters, is developing that rapport between, you know, the filmer, the crew, and then the talent, you know, models and athletes. Like, if you aren't kind of friends or get to know each other, it's going to be a lot harder to connect when you're making content and films, because they're not going to want to open up to you as much and be their authentic self. So a lot of it, the process is kind of breaking down those walls, which can be hard because a lot of the times I'm working with people that I've never met before. Mm-hmm. And each shoot is almost a completely new set of people. So you have to put a lot of intentional effort into developing those relationships in a very short amount of time too. Like, I would say on average, most of my shoots are probably about 4 days.
And
part is, do you walk away from it, and by the end of the shoot, you feel like you've been friends with that person for like years?
Yeah, that's so cool.
That being said, do you ever meet with the people you're shooting with beforehand?
Yeah, so pretty much before any shoot that we're on, like, I would say at a minimum, we'll probably have like 1 to 2 pre-production meetings. So kind of typically Zoom calls or, you know, something along this line, where we'll like go over the creative for the shoot, the shot list, maybe some of the logistics revolving around like the actual shoot schedule of like, you know, we're going to be at this location this morning, and then in the afternoon we'll go here, stuff like that. So even before the shoot starts physically, like, you've already kind of met these people, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. So how do you approach working with brands or sponsors while maintaining the authenticity of the content that you produce? Because I feel like that's a really big part of, you know, the people that you're working with and the brands, like, they're going to have some influence as well. So how do you manage that?
Definitely. So the bulk of my work is commercial, which means I'm usually shooting for a company and trying to sell a product or an experience, which generally means that you have far less creative control over how everything is being kind of framed, particularly when it comes to products. Like, there's a lot of companies that want very specific shots of the product, and so those are like kind of must-have items. Mm-hmm. So in the sense that you give up some creative control on like a larger picture, you have to find like smaller ways to incorporate your own style into the piece. So whether that's like, I don't know, I like to shoot handheld a lot with my camera. I don't like using a gimbal all that much. So that's like one smaller stylistic element that I like to incorporate into my work. You know, it could even be down to like framing. Like, you know, some people like shooting on longer telephoto lenses. Other people like shooting really wide angles. So you can get creative like that on like a smaller scale to still impart your vision. And at the end of the day, as artists, however you decide to document something is like a direct reflection of your view of the world. And with filmmaking and photography, that's quite literal in a lot of cases. It's a little bit more abstract, like if you're a painter or something like that. But regardless, everyone brings a unique vision to how they're going to document things. So, like, that's why I always really enjoy shooting activities that I do myself, because I understand the intricacies of them. So, like, if we're out mountain biking and stuff like that, like, I know the little detail shots to get because I've done the sport myself.
Yeah.
So that is definitely a harder part of commercial work, because sometimes it kind of feels like you're selling your soul as an artist. But I don't know, I think I've kind of gotten used to it. I think it's still plenty artistic, certainly probably more than a lot of other careers.
Yeah.
So that makes me happy.
I would definitely agree. And I hope that one day, whatever my future career path may be, that it definitely has some creative elements to it as well.
All right. So can you discuss a project that you worked on that you feel particularly proud of and why?
Yeah, so last March, I got to shoot a series of videos with some of my friends here in Sun Valley, on both sides of the lens, too. The athletes that we had were all people that are good friends of mine, and all the, you know, camera crew were also good friends of mine.
That's
so
awesome.
That was a really awesome project. We got to highlight Avery Artabino, who's a former Olympic ski jumper turned speed flyer. We got to run around the mountains here with her, and then also my other friend Nikki Penrose, who works with Higher Ground, which is an adaptive sports program that we have here in Sun Valley. So they help people with disabilities go out and get to enjoy activities in the mountains all seasons of the year. So it was pretty awesome getting to get a deeper glimpse into their lives and, you know, the things that they do.
Yeah.
And from like an artistic standpoint, it just felt like one of those shoots where every person that was on the shoot was in the right place doing the right thing for them. Like, it just fit, it made sense, which I think is always when you create your best work.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like we were utilizing everyone's skills and experience to the most. And I think that really translated through the final product. I think turned out amazing.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
That's so cool. So what advice would you give to someone who's interested in pursuing a career like yours with media in the backcountry? And then I think we can go off that, but just advice in general, because I think your path throughout Santa Clara and after college is really unique, and then something that a lot of people admire. And just general advice about that too, but we can start with the first question.
Yeah, there's two big questions on their own. I think with regards to my career in outdoor filmmaking, finding mentorship is pretty critical, because I think coming into it, even when I was still interning while I was going to school, like, I had a lot of the camera skills already, but it was kind of raw and unrefined. And having a mentor, someone that's already been in the field for, you know, 5, 10 years, et cetera, was really great, because being able to talk with them allowed me to kind of discern where I should put my efforts going forward. And so at the beginning, I was like, I kind of did a lot of all of the types of production roles, but like as of the last 2 years or so, I like pretty much only get hired on as a cinematographer, like camera operator or director of photography for shoots now. Like, I don't do a lot of editing and stuff like that. So it was really helpful to find people that were doing roles like that and realizing like, oh, like I see what they're doing on the shoot, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able to talk with them, you know, during our downtime between shots and takes or whatever, and, you know, figuring out like what their career path was, like how did they get to this point, and then trying to reverse engineer that for myself. And then another thing I would think that's hugely important, and this goes to like anything that you do in life, if you want to be good at it, you have to do it a lot. So just a sheer number of like volume will honestly develop a lot of your skills to a level that eventually you can get paid to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I truly think that any activity you can get paid to do in this world, you just have to be good enough at it. And so that takes a bit of time, but if you're willing to put in that time and effort, you can eventually get there.
So kind of going off that, did you ever have moments of doubt that you wouldn't be able to get to a place where you could make it your career?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, at the beginning it was very dubious. Like, my parents were a little bit worried, honestly. they didn't quite know if I was gonna be able to support myself after graduating. But you know, 3 years later, I'm still here doing it. So, but I would say, like, it still happens to me nowadays. Like, I get through periods where I'm like, wow, like, I don't know if this is really sustainable, or maybe it's not the thing for me. But, you know, then I'll, like, go on the shoot and really kind of reinforce that idea that I actually am in the right place. So I would say I still have periods of doubt, and I think that's natural. It'd be kind of weird if you didn't. But I have probably fewer and fewer of those as I've gotten further along in my process.
So to follow up on that with moments of doubt, what advice would you have for Santa Clara students now who are also making a lot of choices about how to spend their time at school right now, whether that's joining a club or going on an Into the Wild trip or changing their major? You know, there's so many decisions that we do make daily that are really going to impact our future at Santa Clara. And I think often, at least I feel conflicted about different decisions, and some feel more natural than others. But yeah, if you can walk us through that and any advice you may have.
Yeah, I mean, college is truly like a formative part of your life. I think the longer I've been out of college, the more I've realized that. So I think probably my biggest piece of advice for people that are kind of questioning their future and their career trajectory, et cetera, is that be selfish. It sounds kind of weird to say that at face value, but what I mean by that is make decisions for yourself and no one else. Because I think for me, that was a big part of the holdup in my process of getting to where I'm at and deciding to switch from engineering, was the societal pressures of, you know, what a traditional career looks like. And like, at least with my background, like all the people that I went to school with, all the people I grew up with regards to like my parents and their friends and what they did for work, like seeing that and being like, oh, like that's the model of being a successful person, and having kind of like a singular view of that rather than understanding that success looks like whatever you define success to be for yourself. So I think that's pretty critical, because at the end of the day, like, you shouldn't be making decisions about your future based off of what society thinks you should do, or what your friends think you should do, or what your parents even think you should do. Because like, I come from a family with a heavy STEM background. Like, my grandfather's an engineer, my dad was a chemist, my mom was a biologist, my brother's an engineer and computer science person. So like, wow. Everything in my life was saying like, go into STEM, go yeah. into STEM. But at the end of the day, I realized like that probably wasn't the thing for me. I wanted to like be an artist. So that's the decision that I made. And yeah, it was hard at the time. I definitely doubted if it was the right decision for me, but I think every day I feel more and more assured that that is, you know, the best option for what I want out of life.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's inspiring. So kind of going back to something that you touched on earlier, I just thought of a question. So you talked about how you saw like the cinematographers on projects that maybe you were just editing on, kind of doing smaller jobs. Like, now you are the cinematographer. So you're here now. Do you have any goals or plans for the future of your career that you want to pursue?
I think with regards to like roles on shoots, I'm pretty happy with being a cinematographer for the most part. That's like definitely the general specialty that I enjoy the most, is actually working and operating with cameras. I've occasionally taken on roles of director of photography, which pretty much means that you're like the head cinematographer, and determining, you know, exactly what sort of shots we're going to actually get, and the lighting and all sorts of other aspects. So it comes with a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more control than just being a camera operator does. And then ultimately, probably directing on some level as well. I think I've tried to be patient with myself on that one, though, because I've found that the people that are the best directors are the people that have done a lot of the other roles on set and have taken the time to understand production from the ground up, rather than someone that just comes into it and just like self-labels themselves like, I'm a director. Like, you don't really understand stuff, how it all works on set. So you're gonna have a really hard time telling people how to do it in the way that you want them to. So yeah, I think I've tried to give myself some time to just saturate my knowledge of production before I really want to step into bigger roles like that, because I think you do need a certain amount of experience for it. And then ultimately, like, end of career goals, more abstractly, is just only do the projects that I'm super passionate about. I think it'd be great to get to that point where I have that ultimate level of artistic freedom and, only working with brands that I like very much align with. I can't say that I've like come across a shoot where I like haven't really aligned that much with the brand that I'm working for. But I would imagine at some point in my career that'll probably happen. But I think it's important to be passionate about what you're doing, so whatever form that takes.
Could you kind of elaborate on what your favorite kind of projects are?
I like working with athletes a lot. Definitely something in the backcountry and arguably a little bit dangerous too. I think that's the those are like the environmental conditions where I thrive the most. I feel the most alive and the most connected to the world and the people that I'm with. So, and as an athlete myself too, I think it's really inspiring. Because oftentimes I'm out with people that are like the top 1% of what they do. And I think it's pretty incredible to see what humans are capable of. So capturing a lot of those stories, I think, is really inspiring for me, and I think also inspiring for other people.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome. I think those are all the questions that we have for you. If you have any other final words that you want to share, but this has been amazing, and we're so happy that you were able to come on the podcast today. We've gotten already some positive feedback from the crowd and some group chats, so lots of people are listening.
Wonderful. I don't know, let me think. Yeah, I think just going back to the idea of like being selfish and like making the decisions for yourself. Because when it comes to like fulfillment in life, I think that needs to be an internal thing. So if you're not happy yourself, it's going to be really hard to be happy for other people. And I don't know, it's like, I think all like people put a little bit too much emphasis on career. Like you shouldn't define yourself based off of your job. Like as much as I love what I do with camera work professionally, I don't let that be like the only thing that defines me. Like I like to think of myself as a person first. So, like at the end of the day, even though I love what I do, like I only do enough work in order to live, because I think ultimately that's the more important thing. Like as long as I have enough financial freedom to do all the activities that I enjoy doing with my own time, then like that's how much money I need. So I kind of tailor it off of that. Like my focus largely in life is doing the activities that I love with the people that I love and maximizing that.
Yeah, that's great. I feel like, I don't know, society's losing sight of that. So I think those are good parting words.
Yeah, I mean, specifically at Santa Clara too, like I feel like there's such a strong culture of like working really hard being in Silicon Valley there.
Totally.
So just kind of like a PSA to all of y'all that it doesn't necessarily have to be like that if you don't want it to be. There are other options out there.
That's comforting. Thank you. Yeah, we really appreciate it. Welcoming you into the KSU office. So, and we wish you the best of luck with your career and look forward to seeing all of the other amazing expeditions you get up to.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Pierce.